This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the Relationship Doctor, here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, where every Saturday morning, Chris, we're here, coffee in hand, and we're here doing life together, and we're so glad you joined us.
That's right. Each week, we want you to join us here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and you can do that through social media at Dr. Linda's My Faith radio page, where you can leave a message, a comment, or answer the question of the week. And this week's will be a lot of fun, I think. Dr. Linda's Facebook page is Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker, and her Twitter is at Dr. Linda Helps. And you can visit her website, drlindamental.com. This show will hit home today.
It will, but now before we do that, I have to get an update. Because last week we left our audience in a state of suspense.
They've been waiting, right?
They've been waiting to hear. Did the bat have rabies?
Ladies and gentlemen, the bat did not have
rabies. Ah, yay!
But the thing is, though, I was still forced to go through the entire battery of shots.
You were?
Yes.
They made you get rabies shots regardless?
Yes.
Okay, now, if you weren't listening last week, see what you missed? All this excitement. Chris was bitten by a bat. He thought.
Thought so, maybe.
Were you, but you didn't know.
Not
sure.
But
the bat was analyzed. Did not have rabies.
But see, the health department said, you don't know that that was the same bat. So my wife, being a little, what's the word?
Concerned.
Yes. Said, you must go get the shots. The first night,
you
six
did.
Shots.
Oh, I know. Those are not fun.
Six shots, two in this
the
leg,
stomach.
Two in this leg.
Oh, you got them in the leg?
They do not do it in the stomach anymore.
Oh, okay.
Then in the arm, then in the arm. Then you go back a week later, another shot.
Oh, my goodness.
I finally have been through all of the shots.
Well, now anything can bite you, and it's okay.
That's what they said. I had one great nurse. She said, you can wrestle a raccoon now, and you'll... No problem.
Well, if you get into that, let us know about that.
Right. That'll be more exciting than the rabies threat. That's
for right.
Sure.
That's right. Well, we're glad you're safe and that you're not in the hospital and you're here today with us.
Right.
Bat and all.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, today, this show today, we're going to have a little fun with it. It's really a prevention show.
Right.
So what we're trying to do here today, you need to listen to this show very carefully because we're going to save you a lot of relationship problems. If you listen to what we're telling you, keep yourself out of hot water in your relationships, that's going to be very helpful. So we're going to get into this. So we should tell people what we're talking about.
Well, you wrote a book called I Married You, Not Your Family, and it's on the My Faith Radio blog. Things to say if you want to upset each other.
At first I had it, things to say if you want to upset your partner or your spouse. And I thought, you know what, a lot of these things would upset more people than just your partner or spouse. So
right. You
can take these things and you can apply them to all relationships, not just marital relationships or couple relationships. So we're going to kind of get into this because, you know, we don't think about it sometimes. We say things and they're very upsetting to the person on the other end of the relationship. And then we don't know why they're all upset with us. So we really want to prevent that from happening. So think of this as your prevention show.
How are we so blind to say things and not realize the impact?
When you're in the middle of an argument or you're upset about something, sometimes words just fly out of your mouth. I mean, that is really the key here, is that you want to be able to regulate your emotions and not just react to things when they happen, but have emotions. So emotions are very important to have, but try to sit with them for a few moments and then think before you speak, because just saying whatever is in your mind can get you into a lot of trouble.
I've been there, done that.
Yeah. This is a very personal show, I'm guessing. I'm sensing this from Chris over here. There's one of these on here that somebody wrote in, and I've said that one too many times, and I've gotten into trouble with that. And my husband has actually said to me, please don't say that to me again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's identified it. So should we get going on him?
Yeah, we've got a few here to go through. There are common things that people say to each other. Let's break that down. and see how that goes.
Well, is there any that you want to share with us from your personal experience?
No.
His wife is listening.
I'm not a listener to the show. I'm on the show, so okay. I'm exempt from that.
Well, I'll be transparent and say one of mine when we get to it, because there's one in here that somebody wrote in, and it is one of mine.
If I were to be transparent, as recent as last night.
Uh-oh.
Yes,
okay.
There were things said that I probably should not have said.
Okay, so see, this is good for you. So where should we start?
Let's start with this. This one comes in from Sharon. She says, you cannot win when you are asked this question. Do I look fat in this... blank.
That is probably the number one, don't you think?
Yeah.
When somebody asks you if they look fat in their jeans or in a dress or something that they have on.
And she also mentioned, I don't know why anyone would do this. Hey, you look like you're gaining a few pounds.
Yeah. That probably doesn't go over too big with anybody either.
Right.
So this is a tough one because it's something that people ask once in a while. You put something on, and I have done this with my husband. I put it on. I've walked in front of him, and I've kind of turned around, and I say, okay, does this make me look fat? Now, if he says yes, I'm not going to be feeling too happy. Although, you know what? He told me that last week. I've been in this job where I've been sitting, and I have gained a few pounds, and there was a dress that's very tight in one spot, and he said, yeah, that isn't ready for you right now.
Oh, wow. Well, that's... I believe it was a movie I saw where the same scene happened, and the lady said, does this dress make me look fat? And he said, no, you make you look fat.
Oh, no.
That's a terrible response.
That's even worse, yeah. I think. So, you know, so here's what he has said to me in the past that has been much better. So let's give some help here.
Okay.
So he has said things like, I like that one better on you, or it looks okay. It's probably not your best dress. So you don't have to lie to a person.
Right.
I think one of the things that you are looking for when you ask that question is tell me the truth because I'm feeling self-conscious right now. So I don't advocate ever for people to lie, but you could be much more diplomatic about how you answer it than...
It's such a loaded question.
It is a loaded question.
And honestly, I would venture to say that there are men who are sensitive to that.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's just women. I think it's, you know, you can put on something and if you feel like maybe their belly's hanging out and that isn't the best shirt for them or something, it is hard to go up to somebody and say, you know, that probably isn't the best shirt for you, or why don't you try something else? It's a little bit looser. I mean, it depends on the relationship you have with somebody.
Right.
If you really are trying to be constructive about helping them, but even so, people are very sensitive, and it's a tough question to answer.
Before we go to the break, let's talk about this question. Well, let me tell you about the question that's coming up. Hey, we need to talk.
That's a familiar phrase. Oh, wait, it's the name of my latest book.
Yes, you've written a book about that. It's called We Need to Talk, and we'll talk about that coming out of the break. This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Great to be with you this Saturday. You can follow Dr. Linda on Facebook at Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker, and on Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps. We'll be right back.
I think one thing you probably should never say to someone you're in a relationship with is you should never compare them to a past girlfriend or to a past relationship. I don't think that's ever a smart idea. No one likes to be compared, guy or girl, likes to be compared to another relationship or another guy or another girl.
The other day I was cut off the road by a driver. Everything in me wanted to yell, hey, watch out. But I restrained myself, knowing that yelling at the driver would not do so much good, and it wasn't the best way to deal with my anger. Anger easily rises up in most of us. Anger, while a natural emotion, needs to be dealt with in the right way. The Bible tells us, be angry, but do not sin. So what is the biblical way to handle anger? Well, this is a question I answer in my short and easy book to read, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness. That small book has sold over 130,000 copies because of how practical and helpful it is to everyday living. So if you want to be angry but not sin, practice what Scripture teaches. Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness is available on my website, drlindamental.com, and online where books are sold.
Did you know you have a conflict style? Everybody does. Are you a conflict avoider? Maybe you don't avoid but instead react intensely. Or perhaps you are a great negotiator. Dr. Linda Mental offers a free conflict quiz when you visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com. Click on the picture of her latest book, We Need to Talk. Then have a friend or your partner take the quiz too, and see if you can navigate conflict successfully.
Find out what your conflict style is. Click on the cover of Dr. Linda's latest book at drlindahelps.com.
After about 3 years of marriage and then dating my wife for about 4 years before we got married, I think the number one thing I would never say to her is, yeah, it might be a little bit your fault.
Well, happy Saturday morning and welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where today we're talking about things that you can say that will really upset your partner or some other person.
Dr. Linda, listen, I'm sorry, but we need to talk.
I know. When you hear those four words, what do you think?
Oh, no. Something's up.
It isn't usually good, is it? When
right.
you hear somebody say that, you're not going, oh, this will be fantastic. Yeah, let's sit down. This is
right.
going to be good. We're going to get it all out of the way. Although that's how we should probably approach those four words. But unfortunately, most people think this isn't a good sign. There must be something going on underneath the surface. So one of the things you might want to do is say, there's something on my mind. Could we talk about that?
Right.
Or even if you do say we need to talk, make sure you do it in a tone that isn't, hey, we need to talk.
Right.
You could maybe say, you know what, it would be really helpful if we could talk for a few minutes and talk about something that's been bothering me.
It's why face-to-face communication is so much safer than a text.
That's true.
We need to talk.
You'll read into that, won't you, right away that, uh-oh, I'm in trouble, something's going to happen. So I use those four words as a title of a book because
right.
it's a book on conflict. Mm-hmm. And usually when you hear those four words, you either are wanting to avoid conflict or not sure how to deal with it, or maybe you've had the experience of conflict getting out of control. So it's not something that usually brings warm feelings to the heart. Be sensitive. I'm not saying, Chris, don't ever say it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying when you say it, be careful of your tone, and then make sure that if you think that's going to be too confrontive, change it a little bit to, there's something I would really like to discuss with you, and I think it'll be great if we can have a conversation and sort of get this out of the way.
Hey, can I buy you a coffee? Would you like to go for a ride? Can we chat for a second?
Yeah, those are good ways
right.
to do it.
Instead
yeah.
of, hey, we need to talk. It's a good title for a book, but it means let's get this out in the open.
Yeah, and that's a good thing, except it makes people very defensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so they start off the conversation not really wanting to listen or
right.
being afraid to listen because it could be bad. So that one, we're going to say, okay, use the phrase, use it sparingly, watch
mm-hmm.
your tone.
Right.
Okay?
And we're discussing things to say that will upset others. And how about this one that came in this week to the show? Well, if you had done it like I told you, this wouldn't have happened.
Ooh, have you ever heard that from a parent?
Yes.
Yes,
yeah.
I know. I think my dad said that quite often.
Right.
And the problem with that saying is that it feels very scolding.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I always felt when I heard that, and I love my mom and dad. I mean, I love my dad. He's great. He was tough on us as kids.
Yeah.
When that happened, I kind of felt like I was being kicked when I'm down.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean by that? Well, if you'd done it like I told you, well, yeah, I know I didn't, and it didn't turn out well, and yes, you were right. Now, to have somebody say that to me again,
right.
it just feels like you're kind of rubbing it in.
It's a double whammy, because you know you've already made a mistake, mm-hmm. and you don't need to be reminded of that.
So I think that's one you need to use restraint and withhold.
What about this one? Admit it, your mother does not like me.
So there probably are people listening thinking that's true, and
yeah.
I've said that to my partner. The problem with that is that then it puts you, the spouse, in a position of having to figure out if you're going to defend your mom or defend your husband,
mm-hmm.
or if it's the other way around, it could be a man also in that position. So the problem is that even if she doesn't like you, I wouldn't agree with that. I wouldn't
mm-hmm.
agree with the statement. Instead, what I would do is I would say, well, I'm not sure that that's true, but I understand that that's your perception. Could we work on that relationship? Is there something we could do that could make that relationship better? So I think it's much better to stay positive if somebody says that to you. When I've heard, admit it, your mother doesn't like me, in marital work, I've coached them to say, well, you know, she doesn't even know you like I
mm-hmm.
do. So what's not to like?
That's disarming.
It's disarming,
yeah.
isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I know that sometimes when things don't go well with couples and there's in-law issues, that it's real tempting to kind of throw that into the middle of the argument, but it really isn't probably at that time about the mother.
Right.
And it really isn't where you want to focus. You do want to focus on, oh, come on. There's probably things that we all don't like about each other, but to
right.
say that she just equivocally doesn't like you is an overstatement.
Mm-hmm. Tina gave us this one. Were you always this annoying, or did you just come to be that way?
Oh, gosh. That one, I don't know that there's any salvaging that one,
no,
right?
No,
that is a pretty in-your-face,
right.
I'm upset with you, I'm going after you kind of comment. So I think that one, that's a no-no.
Well, it doesn't invite any dialogue. And if someone asked you this question, I would say they're not prepared to actually discuss anything with you. They're just trying to be antagonistic.
Well, yeah, and it's just what you said. It sets up the defensiveness. So you're not going to get conversation if you're just going after somebody head on. That mm-hmm. is basically criticism.
Yeah.
And so what we have to distinguish always with criticism in relationships is changing criticism into complaints. It's okay to have a complaint. And if you've been listening to the show, you've heard me say this before, mm-hmm. that complaints are okay in relationships. But when they're done in a very critical way where you're doing just what Tina is suggesting, where you're always this annoying, that's not really a complaint. Now, she could say when you come home late or you throw your clothes on the floor,
right.
I feel annoyed. That would be a better way to say it. That's making a complaint that when this happens, this is how I feel. That's very different than accusing someone and saying you're annoying.
You know, in number 3 and 5, number 3 was, well, if you had done it the way I told
you're
you.
You're counting? I can't count. I don't know which one that is.
And then the one we just talked about, were you always this annoying? Both of those comments, the person is saying you.
Yeah, that's a good call on that because mm-hmm. pointing the finger at somebody just sets up all that defensive posturing and you're not going to get anywhere. And really, it isn't an attempt to solve anything. It's just an attempt to let go of your anger
right.
and push it on that person.
Our next comment deals with something that I struggle with because I'm the one who likes to crack a joke once in a while, be the funny guy.
Yeah, and I've noticed that.
Right, and my wife isn't always as impressed with me as I am.
With your humor?
Right. So it would almost make you want to say, I thought it was funny, but I didn't see you laughing.
Right.
That's
and I've heard that. I've heard that from people, and I've actually seen that a lot in relationships. Mm-hmm. When the relationship is somewhat controlling, the gist behind that is that you can't be different than I am. So why aren't you laughing? I think it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
You should be thinking just like I'm thinking. You
right.
should be feeling just what I'm feeling. And the person cannot be themselves. So it's a very controlling thing to say that, if I'm laughing, you're not laughing, there's something wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Please just admit it's funny. It wasn't funny, Chris.
And it's okay to have differences like that.
Right.
You don't have to be doing exactly what somebody else is doing in that relationship. But when there's that pressure to be the same, that's usually a sign of control or manipulation.
Right.
So you need to look at that one and look at what's a little bit deeper on that one.
Marlene chimed in this week and said, oh, no, here it is. The worst.
Oh,
you
no,
you are just
worst.
Like your father. Or starting a sentence with, you need to.
Yeah.
That's a recipe for disaster.
Okay, so I have to admit, this is the one I've used a few times. Earlier on in our marriage, when I would get very frustrated, you know, I'm a family therapist.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at all the family dynamics of what's going on, and I notice when my husband was acting like his father, his mother, or someone in the family. Now, it's okay for me to notice that, but I don't think it's okay for me to point that out. He did not pay me to do therapy with him.
That's true.
And it's just kind of a low blow.
Yeah.
And I know that I've said it in moments of just complete frustration where I didn't know what to do. I didn't like what I was seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just used that as a way to kind of make him feel even worse.
You know, Cindy said the same thing. Her line was, you are going to end up just like your dad, angry and alone.
Well, that's even got more punch to it, I think.
Yeah,
so predicting
worse.
That they're going to be just like that person means that mm-hmm. they can't change and that they're going to just do the same thing as their parent did, especially if the parent has problems. That's not going to be received in a good way. So you have to be very careful with those words. I would not go there with that phrase. So again, we're trying to give you phrases that would be better to avoid. Because these are guaranteed to upset the person you're using that phrase on.
Right. Hopefully you're not taking notes on this program for things to say to the
right.
person.
Yeah, let's make that real clear.
Right.
These are the phrases not to say because we don't want you upsetting the people around you. We want you to be thinking about the impact of your words. It's always a good thing, Chris, to
mm-hmm.
think about how our words impact other people and not just be cavalier with our words and let them fly.
Well, you can go to the My Faith Radio page and read Dr. Linda's blog. what to say if you want to upset others. And much of this information is based on her book, I Married You, Not Your Family, and her latest book, We Need to Talk. This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. We'll be right back.
Something you should probably never say in a relationship is those jeans make you look fat.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
The other night, I had an interesting conversation with friends at dinner. We were talking about the idea that Bible stories were not just nice stories, but they were there to help us relate to difficulties when they come. Now, I know this wasn't exactly a new thought. I know we know this. But how often do we think about what we are going through and actually place our life stories in the context of those Bible stories? So here's what we did. We took turns and we related a current issue that we were each having to a specific Bible story. Then we used those stories to encourage one another. So for example, one of my friends had a relationship with his boss that felt a lot like David's relationship with Saul. One moment the boss was praising him and giving him assignments. The next moment the fiery spears would fly. Like David, he trusted God for his tomorrow. He often wondered about the timing of God's intervention, but trusted that God was working on his behalf and the plans God had for him were good. Another friend related to Joseph. She was in a job, unappreciated, and felt thrown to the side while others ascended and were promoted. She could really relate to being in the prison of neglect and rejection, hoping and praying that the king, the boss, would remember her and release her from false charges that caused the rejection. Like Joseph, she believed God would restore what was lost. By the end of the dinner, we were laughing and smiling. Life may have thrown us a few curves, but we were determined to react to those curves like the people of faith who went before us. So, the next time you need a little encouragement, hey, grab that Bible storybook and think about the lessons we teach our children. Those stories aren't just for kids. They can really encourage us too.
When you're dating somebody, I don't think you should tell them they look fat or that those clothes make them look fat or like, honey, should we go to the gym or something like that? Because a lot of times they'll get offended.
Well, welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Today we're talking about things you can say if you want to upset your partner. Now, obviously, we don't want you to upset your partner or anybody else in your family or your friends or at church even. We want you to be able to be conscious of your words and not upset people. So this is prevention.
If you are taking notes, put a big do not
yep,
on top
do not
of the page.
Sign there. Right, right.
Here's an example that came in this week. Someone says to you, so why are you friends with that person if you don't even have feelings for him or her?
Ooh, that's a hard one. And this is one you hear with dating relationships that is annoying, really, to some people because it sounds very desperate. It sounds like you're very jealous when you make that comment and that you can't handle the relationships that the person you're dating or the person you're with is having with other people. A healthy relationship is not exclusive where mm-hmm. you can't see other people and be in a relationship. So that one, I would say, is not going to get you anywhere good.
You know, Sandy says he once called his wife by his first wife's name.
Oh, goodness.
And he heard about it for weeks.
I can imagine. I can imagine. That would just be a tough one. I don't even think I need to explain why that would be problematic.
I tend to side with Sandy. If you spent years with a person and there's someone else filling that role, it can happen.
It can happen, but ooh, just saying, filling that role. That would not be a way you'd want to think about a second marriage.
True.
So yeah, it can happen because you have a habit of
right.
using that name over and over. The best thing would be if that happens is just stop and say, "I'm so sorry. I apologize."
Right.
So there's no good way to get out of that except to apologize.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, I may have thrown it away. I don't remember. What if someone tells you that?
I've actually heard that from people before, and boy, do they get mad because mm-hmm. it sounds very insensitive. Why are you throwing someone's stuff away and not even asking them before you throw it away? So the message there is, I don't really care what you think. I did it. And, mm-hmm. oh, it bothers you? Oh, I'm so sorry. That doesn't sound very sincere, does it? You don't want to secretly throw things away from somebody and then have them find out later, and
right.
then you're in the doghouse, basically, when that happens. So don't lie about something if that happens. Admit it.
Mm-hmm.
And say, next time, I promise I'll ask you before I throw something away.
Now, what about Sherry? She has some sentences here that we should never start a sentence with.
Okay.
Some phrases. You make me so.
That's good.
I'm sorry, but.
The but in there is what the problem is
and
there.
If you only.
Yeah. Mm. And people can't see you, Chris, but you're pointing at me and you're doing this you
right,
kind of
yeah.
thing. And that's what tends to happen with those. So that's the problem with those.
It's body language a lot there, too.
It is. Nobody can see that on the radio,
right.
but that's part of it. It's just a very angry stance that only makes people defensive.
Yeah, well, maybe I would be more understanding if you would tell me more about it.
And I hear this quite frequently in couples work. So
right.
can you just feel the tension hearing that?
Yes.
It
yes.
brings up tension. So this is an indirect accusation. So the advice here is just be very direct. What is it you want to know?
Now, Megan has a suggestion. She wants people to avoid the words always and never.
I think those are great. I think those are great. Another one mm-hmm. that came in was saying to somebody, what's wrong with you?
Oh, yeah.
Never goes well.
What about Scott? He gives us this one. Why do I have to always do everything?
Oh, that's the martyr. The
right.
martyr syndrome,
right.
so not good. So I want to end with this one, Chris. We only have a few seconds left. So this one is just the one you do not want to do, and that is, which of my friends would you be interested in if I died?
I don't want to touch that with a 10-foot
don't.
Pole.
Don't. Do yeah. not answer that. There is no good answer. All
right.
you can say is, honey, no one can
right.
replace you.
In all seriousness, I did hear an elderly couple, wife dies, and he was asked, would you marry again?
Yeah.
He said, till death do us part, and that includes me.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Okay. Well, listen, I hope we had a little fun with this week, but we did give you some really good advice in here. Remember, there's power in your words, so much so that the Bible tells us, Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. So let's be careful. Let's not be careless with our words, and let's use them to lift each other up, to encourage each other, and to resolve conflicts respectfully. Well, that's all the time we have for today. So many thanks to our engineer, Matt Garcia, who is also our man on the street. And thanks, of course, to my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. And from all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, remember, we're here doing life together, and it's always better when you don't have to do it alone.
The Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.